back with us. Go ahead. Stand by, everybody.
You're still starting.
Stand by. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your no-show. This is it. If you were wondering where you were supposed to be tonight, you are in the right place. And we are so pleased that you decided to spend a few of your LPEs, your life's precious energy, right here with us on the no-show. Good evening and welcome to your no-show. The Blog Talk Radio Show on the RBR Network that addresses New Thought Metaphysics, which simply means a new way of thinking as we move beyond the physical and discuss the metaphysical aspects of spiritual intervention that incorporates the wisdom of yesterday with the technology of today. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan, along with guest co-host Ms. Carrie Kelly, and it is our pleasure to serve as your host and to invite spirit-filled people who know who they are and are then taking that information into the world, beginning with their neighborhoods, their friends, co-workers, mosques, temples, synagogues, shoeshine parlors, McDonald's, and ice cream stores, and asking the most important question that anyone can ever ask anyone anywhere. And that question is, how can I help? What can I do to make your life better? What can I do to help you to understand me a little bit more? And by extension, then I understand you more. I then understand you more, and we are able to discuss our similarities instead of our differences. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the No Show. Tonight we welcome back Mr. Peter Woodbury, my good friend. Peter is becoming a dear friend. You know, it doesn't take a long time for people to get to know each other. It just takes long enough for you to actually get to be honest with each other. But tonight we're going to again discuss the work of the ARE, the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And Peter Woodbury also plays the role of Edgar Casey in a one-man show that he hosts all over the world. Tonight we will discuss ARE and Edgar Casey's ARE. Edgar Casey was also known as a sleeping prophet by Thomas Sugru. The Man, the Myth, the Healings, Part 2 is what we're going to be excited about talking with you all about this evening. And we're so glad that you decided to stop by here for just a moment. Good evening, my friend Peter. How are you? And welcome again. Welcome back to the No Show.
Thank you. Thanks for I'm excited to be back and really enjoyed our conversation last time, so I'm excited to continue the dialogue.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, whenever it is that you get good stuff started, you just want to keep it rolling. And people were excited about your coming back on. Carrie was all jumping up and stuff and everything. And so I tell you, not only was I feeling that way, but other folks were feeling that way as well. So we know that we have people with us who are listening online via the computer. And for those of you that are on the computer, I would invite you to call in at 347-838-9142. And especially if you would like to make a comment or ask a question of Peter Woodbury about his work, about the Association for Research and Enlightenment, or ask a question of Carrie or me. We would be happy to invite your opportunity to play a participatory role in this situation this evening, because that is what it is all about. So, Peter, tell us, before I bring Carrie in to say good evening to you, excuse me, tell us what you've been doing since we saw each other last, what's going on in your world, and how you're showing up to make a difference for everybody that is around you, because I know that's what you do.
Oh, I've been I've been traveling and speaking on behalf of the ARE and on about Edgar Cayce, and I was in Florida part of last week, and then this week we have our annual Congress at the association, which is we invite all of our members to come to spend a week at the ARE, and we have conferences and activities and socials, and the board of directors is there, and people get to ask questions and give us ideas about the direction of the organization. So it's just feels like a family reunion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, folks, you have to understand that ARE, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, is in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And they are there on that little peninsula, and there is water all around and phenomenal restaurants. Oh, my goodness, do I miss the seafood, the crab and the lobster and all of the other good things that go along with just being on the East Coast and having that accessibility to that. But not only does Peter and Kevin and all of the other folks that are a part of ARE have that, they have the wonderful files, the hundreds of thousands of files that are there for people to call through, go through, that explain so much of what Mr. Cayce did. Peter, I wonder if you might talk for a few minutes about the files and all of the research work that is done there at ARE.
Oh, yeah, we have there's the Association for Research and Enlightenment, which is the organization that hosts all kinds of activities, and we have one of the largest metaphysical libraries in the world on our campus, and we have affiliated university and a school of massage, and we have a magazine that we put out, and so we have all those activities. But then we also have what's called the Edgar Cayce Foundation, and that hosts holds the readings that Edgar Cayce gave. We have copies that are available in our library, and Mr. Cayce gave over 15,000 of these readings, and we have copies of just over 14,300 of them. He didn't keep copies at the beginning, so that's why there's 700 or so that were given out before he decided he should make copies. And so we have those available in our library for people to come and look at, and we've separated them out so that you can, if you have a particular interest, like if you have a health issue you want to look at, like two-thirds of his readings were on health. So if you want to look at cancer or diabetes or psoriasis, we have the readings that he gave on those subjects extracted. And then also he also gave readings on Jesus and Christianity and astrology and karma and reincarnation. So we have all those. He gave readings on 10,000 different subjects. So that's all available. Plus, we have a bookstore, and it's really the association is kind of a center for people that are interested in the New Age kind of subjects. So conferences where like Carolyn Mace was here earlier last month, and we have the folks that are doing kind of like-hearted work. They come and they share it with us. Eben Alexander, the author of Proof of Heaven, he's a regular presenter at the organization. So that's what we are. We're just a place where people that are interested in these kind of subjects can come together and meet each other and attend conferences, and we have a cafe now that's open so you can eat, and we have daily activities for people that are just visiting for the day. So it's quite a active and alive place.
You know, one of the things that I found interesting about Mr. Cayce was that initially he was, and well, always was, rooted in Christianity. But he was also initially rooted in traditional theology, but he grew in wisdom as he also grew in an understanding of what the readings were all about, and the fact that he wasn't just there to help somebody to maybe have hair on their balding spot. In one of the readings, he said, I guess it would be okay if you wanted to use this ointment in order to grow hair. But, you know, brains and hair don't necessarily have to grow together. So it would seem that the brain part would be the better part of that situation. So he also said things in a very funny way that made people think about it realistically. Can you address for just a moment, Peter, if you will, his switching over from traditional Christianity and from being rooted where all of, well, many of us were, that some people are fortunate enough to actually move through and just come here with the awareness of all of this good stuff. But for many of us, certainly myself included, I had to come through all of that in order to get to where it is that I am. Tell us about how it was that he migrated from one sense of belief to another.
Well, that's a great question. I just gave a talk this morning at our Congress on that that very subject. So that's very synchronistic. Unless maybe you knew I gave that talk, so you fed me a softball.
Well, I didn't know it, but I got to tell you, there's only one mind.
That's right. So what Edgar Cayce went through, you know, how his growth from being, you know, merely Christian to kind of becoming a worshiper of God rather than a worshiper of a religion, I think he did that, he initiated that for all of us, meaning that Edgar Cayce pretty much initiated the whole New Age movement, which was basically understanding that God is the God of all people, and God is bigger than any of the religions. Not that any of the religions are wrong or any are better than any other, but that they're a lens at looking at God. And so he brought, in his readings, he would talk about, you know, Christian kind of concepts like prayer, but then he started to bring in Eastern concepts. He started talking about meditation and karma and reincarnation. And that was a struggle for Edgar Cayce, because he had made two promises when he started giving readings as a devout Christian. He said, well, if I ever give a reading that hurts somebody, I'm going to stop. And if I ever give a reading that goes against my fundamental Christian beliefs, I'm going to stop giving readings. And so when reincarnation came up, he had to take pause. He had to reconcile that. And I think when I learned about reincarnation through his readings, I had to wrestle with it, and I think a lot of Christians who have taken on the New Age or looked at Edgar Cayce have had to wrestle with, well, can I be Christian and can I adopt these concepts of meditation and karma and reincarnation? And I think that what we've become is that we're kind of bigger than any particular dogma, and we're seeing that, you know, these are manifestations of the truth. And they fit under a broader rubric than either just the Eastern religions or the Western religions. And I think that's what the New Age movement really is that we're all following God. And some of us may feel comfortable in a particular religion. Like I definitely consider myself Christian, but I'm a Christian who believes in reincarnation.
Absolutely. One gentleman wrote a book, I can't remember who it is right now, some years ago. I used to teach it. It's called New Thought Christian. And in that, William Warsh, that's who it is. Thanks, God. God just gave it to me. William Warsh. I taught that book at the Unity Center of Light in Bowie, Maryland, for a number of years to New Thought people who were just coming in, Christians who wanted to maintain their Christianity, but yet wanted to understand the questions that they had been asking, and nobody was able to answer. You see, like me, you know, when my family transitioned, regular folks call that died, when they did that, then I had questions that nobody was able to answer for me from the Christian alone perspective. But yet when I moved into the New Thought arena, then all of a sudden things started to make sense. I want to go ahead and get her in here, because I know she's chomping at the bit to just say some wonderful things and certainly to say hello. So let me bring Carrie Kelly in. Carrie, good evening. And what questions do you have or thoughts have you been thinking there while you've been listening to us chatting here?
Well, a couple of things. The first thing that really lit me up was the description of the facility that you have and all of the beautiful things going on there. I was like, can I just pack my bags and move in? Because it sounds like a beautiful place to live, you know?
Yeah.
And then the second thing is, you know, with the times changing as they are, one thing I have to say is I'm so grateful for the mindset of Edgar Casey and the people that were supportive of his the movement, because some of the ideas such as reincarnation can really shut down somebody's process as they move through their questions and try to find answers. And so I'm really grateful for the work that he started, and I'm grateful for the work that is continuing with the research and the people that are, you know, coming out, showing us, you know, different levels of knowledge that that are being accepted around new thought. And I guess the one question that I would have would be, how is it manageable to maintain the Christian mindset and incorporate new thought ideas and still be Christian? I mean, that's like a hard one for me to wrap my head around.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Peter, please.
Well, I think that I would say each person has to do that for themselves. You know, I think you have to feel, if you're Catholic and you're a member of the Casey organization, you know, do you feel comfortable going to your church and mass and just kind of not talking about some aspects of what you believe? I wonder if it's a little bit like some Catholics that are pro-choice and they participate in being Catholics. And so I don't know if, I guess every person kind of reconciles that for themselves.
Peter, I didn't hear what you just said because I had gone away for a moment, so I'm going to ask you to just bring me up to speed for a minute.
Sure.
on what you had just said.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying that I think every person does that, makes their own choice. You know, I think that, you know, if you feel comfortable, let's say if you're Catholic and you believe in reincarnation, you're part of the Casey organization, do you feel comfortable going to mass and maybe some ways not really talking about these other beliefs that you have? And I was thinking it's a little bit, I guess, as if you're pro-choice and you belong and you consider yourself Catholic. I think that in a way each person kind of has to reconcile that within themselves, like what, you know, I remember when I was a boy growing, I grew up Catholic, and I remember there was the Nicene Creed, and I didn't, even as a boy, I didn't agree with everything in that. And I remember the nun that was teaching the class, she says, "Peter, we just recited it until we believed it, so do that."
In other words, shut up, just listen, and stop questioning so much. See, that was the part I got. That was the part that I got, because my granny, who raised me, was Baptist. So we went to the Baptist church. She sent me to the Catholic school, And then, of course, when I was old enough to, I met this beautiful little girl with just these wonderful long pigtails that I had to pull. And, of course, I went to the Church of God in Christ. So the interesting thing about that for me, Peter, as you say, serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality, was that I found out that nobody had all of the answers and everybody had some. And so that kind of started me on that path, I think, of taking a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then meshing it all together and coming up with whatever it was that was the best meal for me to have at that particular moment. And in doing it that way, then I felt pretty good about it. But the thing is that oftentimes we have the challenge of trying to explain that to other people who don't understand it as well and who are confused about some of the things, as Mr. Casey was. He was confused about his former beliefs as it related to what he was now finding out about life and living, I assume. Is that kind of what happened with him?
Yes. I mean, I think that, he was never, he was very reticent about doing this readings business. It just wasn't comfortable to him. But he was, as a Christian, he felt that he wanted to serve in any way he could, and he was realizing that these readings helped people. So he kind of had to put aside his comfort and just do what seemed to be helping people. But as this process unfolded, there was more and more kind of strange ideas that came through him that he had to wrestle with. And so I think that the Edgar Casey at 20 was a very different man than the Edgar Casey at 60. But he was very Bible focused. They said he made a commitment to read it one time for every year of his life. So he was very active in the church, and he was a Sunday school teacher. But when his biography came out, and it kind of outed him as a psychic, an unusual person, and they asked him to leave the church. And so that was a sad day for Mr. Casey, because he enjoyed that community so much.
Well, let's park there. Let's park at that parking lot for just a moment, because so many of us and so many people that are listening to us right now are challenged by the fact that people have asked them to leave, have said to them that they are not comfortable. And so for many of us, we then start trying to make things comfortable for people, even though that's not necessarily what it is that we believe, so that they will just be okay with us being there. What are your thoughts on that? How do we do both? How is it that we can have our cake and our pie and eat it as well?
Well, I think, what most people that are Christian in the ARE community, they go to Unity Church, which is an open, non-denominational place of worship. And so I feel that, it's almost like that's the church that's connected in a way maybe mostly more to the New Age. Because certainly the ARE is not a church, and Edgar Casey never meant for it to become a church. His hope was that in this material you might come to understand God in a new way or a different way or a deeper way. And his hope was that it would deepen your faith and your commitment to whatever religion you already belong to. And so, I don't think there's an easy answer. We have to find our way and our place. I remember when I was in Boston, I enjoyed going to the Episcopal Church. It had some of the forms that I grew up in Catholicism, but I liked that it was a much more open religion than what I had experienced with Catholicism.
That's important. Let me clarify something here that was just said a moment ago, because I don't want for our Science of Mind friends and all of our other metaphysical churches to feel that we are just picking out unity as being the only means here of moving forward.
In Virginia Beach, we probably have a few options.
I know. That's right. That's right. So all of the New Thought metaphysical churches, though, have a tendency to be inclusive as opposed to exclusive. And however it is that people are thinking, not that anything goes, please understand, guys, we're not saying that either. But what we are saying is that the come as you are really applies to our New Thought churches, our metaphysical churches, where people are able to come and get an understanding and be all right with whatever the answers are that they get or don't get, and also get information in terms of where else they might go. Well, Peter, go ahead, please.
Well, I think it's I think this movement is about worshiping God and not worshiping religion. And
absolutely.
I think that we've seen plenty of religion worship, and then I think that leads to, you know, to fighting and that sort of thing. And so I think that I think part of what you're talking about is just that we're about God, and we're not about fighting over which branch of the tree you're on.
That's right. That's exactly right. We're in the spirituality as opposed to religiosity. And I remember that Charles Fillmore, who coincidentally as a co-founder of Unity, said, "I reserve the right to change my mind tomorrow based upon information that I receive today." And that's, I think, that open-minded attitude is what separates us in the metaphysical community from others who think a little bit differently from the way that we do. You know, Peter, the last time that you were here, we played a little bit of one of your talks, and so I want to ask you to stand by for a moment. I want to see where this thing is, and then let you tell us and go into it. We're into about the 20th minute of this now, of 26 minutes. So we're going to go ahead and let me bring it up and see if I hear you talking as Edgar Cayce.
And so they said, what can you do to remedy the situation? And I said, tell the body to restore the blood flow to normal and balanced conditions in the vocal cords. And so that suggestion was given to me. And folks there said that they could see my throat grow bright red. The blood came back to the vocal cords. And I was able to speak when I came out of the trance in a normal voice. I had to have that process repeated other times. But it was, I guess, what they call psychosomatic, meaning my own mind was blocking the blood flow to my vocal cords, because apparently I had, you know, what gets us most into trouble, right? What we say, our mouth, gets us in the biggest trouble. And so I had a fear of getting into trouble through what I was saying. It was just an unconscious thing. And so that was just a pattern that I had to work on in my life. I just needed to reinforce that it was okay to talk, as long, you know, you just... one time a reading said, let your thoughts go twice through, just like the blood goes twice through your liver for every time it goes through your heart. Let your thoughts go twice through your mind for each time they come out your mouth. I mean, think twice before you speak. And so I paid attention to that rule for the future of my life. But that became what was called, what you all know as a reading. That strange process of me going into a trance, hypnotic state, and being able to diagnose what was wrong with me, this doctor wanted to see if I could do that for somebody else. Now, how he came up with that idea, I don't know. But he said, let's see if what you just did for yourself, you can do for somebody else. Meaning, I'll give you the name of somebody else, and you see if you can find out what's wrong with them. I guess he had noticed something strange about me being in trance. I don't know how he got that idea, but it was something that apparently could help people that were sick. He said he had people on his that he saw for patients that wasn't getting better, and so he started giving me the names of people, but again under the trance state, give me the names of folks, and I was able to do the same thing. I was able to say what their physical problem was and how for them to get better. Now, remember, I told you I was raised devout Christian. And so I didn't like the idea of giving up my power. I didn't like the idea of making myself open to somebody else. You know, it felt like tinkering with my mind. It was a complex thing to think about doing. And I remember I spoke with Gertrude about it, and she didn't like it at all. She didn't think it was a good thing to do, to be playing with. But since it was apparently helping other people, the doctors told me that these treatments that I was recommending that were very unusual, they were working. They were helping people to get better. And so that convinced me, you know. I prayed about it, and, you know, how do you tell if a tree is a good one by its fruits? And so I was feeling that the fruits of what I was doing was being helpful to other people. And so I continued to do that. We would meet a few times a week, and I had no recollection. You know, all I know is I would lay down. To me, it felt like I'd go to sleep. I'd wake up, and they'd tell me sometimes I'd been talking for half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, given this information. Now, what eventually happened, though, was I found out that the doctors, they were charging those folks money for the information, the readings I was given, and they weren't giving me anything. It was, I felt that was dishonest. And so I broke with working with them. And then also when my father, and once again, back to my father, poor guy, I hope, you're all right, Daddy, you know I forgive you. No problems here. But he, when he found out I could do this, he'd say, okay, come on, the neighbor's not feeling so good. Well, you just lay down, let's try this thing. And anybody could put me under trance. It was very easy. And as soon as I went under trance, remember he said it was going to be the neighbor who was sick? He took out the newspaper and he'd say, all right, who's going to win the first horse race? Who's going to win the second one and the third? And apparently I was better than him guessing, and so he kept doing this. But any time I was used in this way for somebody's personal gain, I would wake up with a bad headache. It was clear that whatever ability I had, it was for helping people. It was not for selfish gain. And so I was having these headaches after these times with Daddy that I eventually figured it out, eventually caught up with him what was going on. And so, make a long story short, remember I said I just wanted to fit in with others, and I saw that whatever these reading things was doing, it was striking a chord of greed in people. And so I said, you know what, let's just stick with me being a photographer. Gertrude and I had become married by then. We had our first son, Hugh Lynn, and we moved to Alabama. We were in Selma, and we were working a photography studio. We liked it very much there. We had found a good church and good people to support us and to be in a community with. But, you know, when you have a purpose or a mission in your life, it's not going to let you go that easy. It's going to stalk you. It's going to come up again. And I guess somehow this strange thing of giving readings.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The No Show, and you have been privileged to hear Peter Woodbury serving as Edgar Cayce in one of the many places that he stops all over the world, where he becomes Mr. Cayce for the people that are there and brings back to life the sleeping prophet, the gentleman that Thomas Sugru in the book There Is a River, and the organization that was established in his honor, in Mr. Cayce's honor, the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and that now carries on his work all over the world. Peter, share with us what that was about, that part that we had not heard before, that we heard in part one, but we now heard that part in part two. Share with us where it was that you and Mr. Cayce were at that point in his evolution, in his spiritual evolution.
Well, he had moved to Selma with his family, and he was hoping to leave behind this readings business. And so he was just hoping to be a regular guy. And then what happened, his little boy, Hugh Lynn, who he was talking about, back then when you did photography, when you did flash photography, you would actually use flash powder. So it was like a little, little explosion. So the, you know, boys, you know, they love that kind of stuff. So he got into the photography studio and he dropped a match into a can of flash powder and it exploded in his face, and it burnt his face and his eyes. And the doctor said that he was going to lose at least one of his eyes, if not both. And little Hugh Lynn asked his father if he would give him a reading. And so that became Edgar Casey started doing reading. You know, he gave a reading for his son. It was a very complicated reading. The only reason Edgar Casey did it was because he thought there was no hope, you know, that it was he was already going to lose an eye. But then what happened was through the reading, Hugh Lynn regained a perfect sight in both of his eyes back to normal. And this got into the newspaper, and then requests for readings started coming again. And so this time he decided that instead of just having anybody put him under trance, he asked his wife if she would become the primary conductor of the readings, and that's where they decided to get a stenographer to take down the readings. So after that, in Selma, Alabama, you could say that's when this work really took off, when it really became serious. He had a he started having a crew with him.
And everything was being recorded at that time as well, and notes were being kept so that they could then refer back to and refer others to same situations so that they could have a treatment that was the same as what had been determined for somebody else.
Yes, yes. Gladys Davis came, the stenographer, and she became the secretary, but she became really like a family member. But if you look, she was meticulous, and you know, she the files she kept, it includes documentation of every letter that was sent, you know, from the person inquiring, and then every letter Mr. Casey sent. So there's a record of all of this correspondence, and then of course the readings. So it's quite a I forget exactly. I think it's something like 60,000 pages of material, because you can get the you can get Casey's readings on CD-ROM now, but it also includes all of this supplementary material. So it's, you know, it's thousands of pages, and you know, there were two fires in Mr. Casey's photography studio. And she made sure that everything was kept in fireproof cabinet, so the reading survived all of this.
Wow. And how did they meet her? How did she come to be a part of that experience?
Oh, everything is everything in Casey's life is a story. The story there was through their church, they let it be known that they were looking to hire a stenographer. And so about six young women, because it was a profession of young women back then, six young women said they had training and they would like to apply for the position. So what they did is they created a sort of audition, and the audition was going to be that Mr. Casey was going to go into trance and give a reading, and the six young ladies were invited to the studio to sit around Mr. Casey in a trance and take it down. Well, when the reading was over and the lights went back on, five girls had run out of the building, and only one was left. And the one who was left was Gladys Davis, so she got the job by attrition. But she loved it. She was not
spiritual
afraid.
Default.
Yeah, she loved it, and she stayed with the Caseys until they passed away, and she stayed at the ARE until her time came.
Is that right? That is phenomenal. I'm going to ask you to stand by for just a moment, Peter Woodbury, if you would, who is affiliated with the ARE and also does all manner of wonderful things all over the world, hosts travel trips to various places around the world, explaining some of the Casey readings and some of the Casey information to those of us who want to understand and want to know more of what that is about. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Renford Broadcast Network. We're so pleased that you decided to spend this time with us. We have this much fun every week. So please come back again and again and again and visit with us, because we love to have you here. It is important for us to know what it is that you want to hear, because that is what we want to give you. So send me a little note at robtmcm@aol.com, and I will take that under advisement and look into whatever it is that you feel you want to hear. We, on different days, offer different things, and on Monday, we have the Cosmic Contact Show at 6:30 p.m., hosted by Pam Drennan in Seattle, Washington. On Tuesday, we have the Night Search Show at 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, hosted by Eddie Middleton from Memphis, Tennessee, and Justin Abner from Orlando, Florida. On Wednesday, as you already know, we have the No Show at 7 p.m., and all of our shows, by the way, are Central Standard Time, and our shows are for an hour, so from 7 until 8 p.m., you have the No Show. Immediately after our show at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, my dear friend James Renford Powell will be on with the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. That's at 8:30 p.m. until 9:30 p.m., again, Central Standard Time. This is a phenomenal show. The Laws of Material Personal Wealth Development Program offered a 54-week opportunity for you to learn about having money in your life, being friends with money, and you can still get that information if you'd like to, so please go up and check that out. On Thursdays, the Searchers Roadmap Show at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time is hosted by Rhonda Harrison from Red Feathers Lakes, Colorado. Rhonda is also the moderator for this particular show. And Rhonda is a healer and often hosts shaman from around the world at her home 9,000 feet up the mountains of Colorado. So you want to definitely make certain that you catch that. I mentioned the Progressive News Weekly show, I believe, at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, hosted by Daryl Clark from New York. And again, that show has people like Dick Gregory and people of note and subjects that are timely and of interest, hot issues and current events. And it is co-hosted by Cecil McDaniel, who is our own director of Renford Broadcast Network. So we have some good stuff for you here, and we are excited that you decided to spend a little time with us this evening with our guest, Peter Woodbury of the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, Virginia. It is not only a wonderful place to go and read about Mr. Casey, it is a phenomenal place to go for massages and swimming opportunities, not only in the oceans, but in all of the various pools. And they have holistic massage and masseuse that are there on site for you. So make plans right now to spend part of your vacation in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and to walk up and shake Peter Woodbury's hand and tell him you heard about him on the No Show, and that you're excited about having Robert McMillan to come back down to Virginia Beach again so he'll invite me more often, okay? I would like that. I want to bring Carrie back in and ask Carrie, what are your thoughts on what Peter just shared with us on Mr. Casey and Peter Woodbury as Edgar Casey?
I definitely love the story, and I laughed pretty hard about the horses. You know, I could just see him, you know, trying to get the information about the horses. So if he was around today, people would be bugging him for the lottery numbers. I could see it now, you know?
Yeah.
What I'm kind of curious to know, if you could hazard a guess of what would Edgar Casey think of some of the scientific discoveries that are coming out when it comes to the vibrational energy information about, you know, how some of our energy, when we intentionally send it out, you know, and some of the miracles that are able to manifest because of that. You know, I wonder if he would be surprised at certain, you know, manifestations of that phenomenon.
You know, Robert was just talking about the CEO of the ARE, and he wrote a book on Casey's readings about vibrations. And so Casey was very ahead of his time in so many ways, but also just like what you were talking about. So I don't think he would be too surprised. I think his readings were encouraging us to understand more the vibration of thought and how everything has a vibration and a resonance. And even one of his readings talked about electricity and how electricity is the closest thing in the physical world of the manifestation of God. And I've always thought that was a real interesting reading, to think about how electricity is just this pure power, and we can use it. You know, our free will uses that power for healing, or we can use it for destruction. And so And he, you know, Edgar Casey was also part of his treatments. You know, this is in the 1900s. He created these two battery cells that were basically about using one of them for people that had minor illness. It was about helping to redistribute the electricity in the body, that sometimes some parts of the body would get a little overcharged and some places were undercharged. It was about rebalancing that. And there was one that was a battery cell that actually brought an electrical charge into the body. Now, you've probably heard of Nikola Tesla, the famous researcher with electricity, and as part of the eventually what became the radio, and he did alternating current. He got many readings from Edgar Casey, and actually some years ago from the former Yugoslavia, representatives of the Tesla Museum came to tell us that Tesla had left Edgar Casey some patents in his will. And so they were wondering what to do with this. So they were Edgar Casey was involved with, he was really part of the fabric of the time. You know, if Edgar Casey was alive today, you know, he would have, you know, the people that are in the know would have been touching base with him.
Wow.
That energy statement is a really interesting piece right about now that we're all dealing with. And there have been a number of folks that have tried to have something relative to that, but I don't know of very many that have been successful with it in terms of actually applying both the energy field of the spirit and the spiritual side, along with the kinetic energy of the electrical part, that would then balance in such a way as to not fry a person and still have them here and to heal them. What is there anything that ARE is doing now in terms of research along those lines, or research along other lines as well, to forward the study of things like that, Peter?
Well, just to wrap up the last talk, and I'll answer that question. I remember when I was taking a course in Chinese medicine, and I remember the teacher asked us, you know, what's the difference between a person that's alive and then they cross over to the other side, and it, you know, it's maybe a minute or 3 minutes later. What's the difference between the body of the person when they were alive and then when we call them dead? And we were struggling with that. And he says, person that's alive has an electrical charge, and the one that's dead, there's no electrical valence anymore. And so it was just more curious thought about how this, you know, whether electricity, we can think of that as connected to life itself. That's just that thought. But then you were asking the great question about or did you want to follow up on that before I answer the next one?
No, please, go ahead. That's great.
Yeah, and then your other question about, is the ARE active in research? Well, we had an affiliated research branch that was called the Meridian Institute, and they were doing a lot of good research on different aspects of his readings. Remember, he highly prescribed castor oil packs, you know, not the way your mother and my grandmother would give us a spoonful of castor oil that we would run
right.
away from. He was
right.
he was talking about it as a you saturate a wool flannel half of a sheet and you put it over the abdomen with heating, you know, with a heating pad over it, and that has mm-hmm. to do with detoxifying the spleen and the liver and the intestines. And the research we've done is that it shows that it increases lymphocyte action, so that it does have castor oil has this effect of stimulating your immune system. So that's some of the research that had been done. Now, just times have gotten tighter, you know, with the global economic crisis, and so the areas had to cut back, unfortunately, on some of these important aspects, but that are not urgent. And so that mm-hmm. that research branch is not as active as it could be or as it has been. But, you know, it's in the name of the organization, the Association for Research and
Enlightenment. Well,
yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, we're going to do everything that we can, Peter, to support you all. And we know, and we're going to send it forth and allow it to be so right now, that there are people who are going to hear this program, and they are going to understand that they can make a contribution to ARE, monetary or otherwise, that will then allow this work to continue, allow it to move forward and go on, and to understand the importance of the work. And what Mr. Casey did yesterday is just as important today, because we have the same types of challenges and problems, and we need answers. And so ARE is there to undergird and support the efforts of all of us in understanding things about ourselves, about our world, and how to live a quality of life along with the quantity. You know, I always tell people, Peter, it would be nice if I lived a quantity of life. That's a long time. But I'm more interested in living a quality life. I want to really live the type of life that will allow me to be of service, number one, and then to do things that are fun, to live life, as Pam Mosby says, with gusto, and to enjoy our activities. So where do you go from here, Peter? What is it that is next for Peter Woodbury? What is it that is next for ARE on the big scheme and the big scope of things? I know you have a lot of property there in Virginia Beach. Are you also looking at expanding anywhere else at the moment?
Well, we just we've undertaken a large initiative to redesign. We built a new building on the campus, and then we've remodeled the former hospital. And so there's been a lot of investment in getting the campus to look nice, you know, to look state of the art. Our massage school has state of the art classrooms, and our university as well. And we have a visitor center. That's our next target, is to, you know, it hasn't really had a facelift since it was built in 1975, and it still has the original air conditioner, which has been taxed the last few days. So we've got a fundraising initiative. We at our Congress, our fundraiser, he said, we're still $1 million short, but we know where the money is. It's in your pockets.
That's right. And even more importantly, Peter, I think it's in people's hearts. And when they understand, when they understand the mission of ARE and all of the good that has been done, And through programs like this one you've been on a couple of times, you will be on many, many more times. Kevin has been on, and we will continue to bring people from ARE on the program so that our listeners understand the importance. You know, too often we have a tendency to say, well, where is so-and-so and so? And then we turn around and they are no longer here, and they are not here because we didn't support them. We assumed that they were well and that all was fine, and then it was too late. So we are about the business, Carrie and I, and the Renford Broadcast Network, of supporting the people that are doing things to help other people in wonder-filled and wonderful ways. And so we're knowing that you will certainly be back on here many, many, many more times as your travel schedule allows. And so we are, are very, very grateful.
Yeah, let me just wrap up. I'm taking the summer off. I'll be here in Virginia Beach, but I'm not going to do any traveling. But then in the fall, if we teach hypnosis and regression at the ARE. I actually teach the course. And in some ways, you know, it's in the way that Edgar Cayce could tune in through hypnosis to these higher states of awareness and consciousness. I've learned to help other people do things that are similar, not of the nobody yet of the degree of Edgar Cayce, but be able to, in some ways, tune into your own higher self and find out, you know, more about your own life purpose and your own direction, your gifts and talents, abilities, and understand better all the things that come up in life. You know, Cayce said the best psychic is self, and so that's that's the work that I do. But that's a course that that'll be in October of this year. And if people are interested, you can just go to the edgarcayce.org and edgarcayce.org, and you can find out more about all the things we do at the organization.
Share with people how they might reach you as well. Peter, we put that on our website, but I want for you to go ahead and share it so that people will know.
Sure, you can reach me by email at peter.woodbury@edgarcayce.org. That's peter.woodbury, spelled W-O-O-D-B-U-R-Y. Woodbury@edgarcayce.org.
Absolutely. And there are so many phenomenal things, ladies and gentlemen, for you to do there at ARE and for the kids as well. There are wonderful opportunities for families to go, as well as for those of us that just don't want to be around anybody anymore for a moment. And so we can go over on the other side of the island and just have a good time, me, myself, and I. Our guest has been Peter Woodbury. You've been listening to The No Show, and we are so pleased that you decided to stop by here and visit with us. Peter, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you here, my friend. We're going to do a lot more things together. Look forward to seeing you down at ARE, and Kevin and Allison and everybody else. Please share my hellos. Carrie Kelly, thank you so much for being a super sidekick. You are just awesome in every way, and I appreciate who it is that you are and how you show up in the world. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have back on the program again. I just keep inviting all of my friends back because I like them. They're just good people. And so Stefan Skajari will be back with us, who is the Minister of Music at the Unity Church in Maryland. And my dear, dear good friend will be playing jazz music and R&B music and a little bit of classical music and some of this and some of that. So tell your friends about it. You may go to our archives and catch this program. Anything that you thought you missed, go ahead and check that out, and we'll be glad to have you give us a call. You may send me a note at robtmcm@aol.com and tell us what your thoughts are relative to this program and any program that we have on the RBR network. Well, you know what? It's that time again. We've had fun. We've had a good time. But you know what? all good things must temporarily come to an end. Bye, you all. Take care. Thanks so much, Peter.
Folks,
thank you, Carrie. God bless everybody.
Well,
take care. We'll see you.
So that's what some of the sources. Sometimes an entity or an angel would identify itself as speaking through me. The earth change readings, the 18 earth change readings were given by the angel Haleliel. And some folks think, you know, the earth change readings have never quite been realized the way they were prophesied. They were prophesied quite dramatically. And it was just not the usual source for